Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential. And nothing in my life has ever put me in face with reality better than jiu-jitsu.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to philosophy.
What up, everybody?
And welcome to another episode of
philosophy.
How's it going, bro?
It's going amazing. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Doing good. The countdown till Christmas is on. Feeling festive. How about yourself?
First of all, I have to always say this. First and foremost, I'm just proud of Ollie, because I'm looking at the tracks on the recording podcast. We already have a legitimately like well set.
We got it slick now, down to a fine art.
Yeah.
Just in time for you to go away.
No, man. Christmas is coming.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing for Christmas?
I'm spending time with friends. So, like, some of my friends from Mozambique that we've known since each other for a long, long time, really close. And, so...
That'd be cool. Here in the UK?
Yeah.
That's nice.
We're doing the... How do you call that thing where you switch gifts?
Secret Santa.
Exactly. So I have to look at, like, the name just came up for me. So I have to look at it in time to buy a gift.
You haven't got long, bro.
Yeah, I know. I have to look at, like, I have to do it all today. Yeah.
They're going to get a gi. A used gi. That's cool, man.
How about you?
I'm planning on going back next Wednesday, back home to the countryside, see family, and then I'm going to come back down for New Year.
What is Christmas like usually like?
For me?
Yeah.
It varies, to be honest. Christmas, for me this year, is going to be wake up at my mum's.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have just me and her are going to do breakfast. Then we're going to drive to my sister's. Yeah. She lives in Wales, so just across the bridge. And we're going to have lunch there, probably stay over. And then on the Monday, I'll see my dad and try and fit some friends in as well, as long as it doesn't break the social bubble. Socially distanced, of course.
Yeah. Vero, like I must say, like that sounds really nice, and I think sounds very much needed for you, because from someone who's up close, it sounds like a really laid back moment for someone who's always on the go.
It's so funny you were saying that. Like this year, obviously this year has been this year, but I was thinking about the other day. So many opportunities have come my way that have meant that I've just been nonstop busy. So obviously, work fully remote hasn't quietened down. Jiu-jitsu pretty much full-time, like every day, full-time going. Then we're also doing the podcast, which isn't exactly a lot of work. Like, we've made it very efficient. Like, we turn up, we chat, we upload it, done.
That's so nice.
But now, obviously, with the Black Belt magazine thing that's going on that me and Billy are doing, you know, that's one video a month, it's three articles, it's five posts a week, two stories a day. Like, that's quite a lot that's going on. So fitting that in and around having a social life, the thought of just going back and doing nothing is quite appealing.
But it speaks to something that I think you did a lot this year. It's like you put on yourself to take responsibility, more responsibility than usual.
It's so weird, bro. Like every single opportunity that's come up recently, it's almost like inadvertently I've been preparing for it. So like the whole video thing, I've always wanted to do like a video project, but I don't know. I think saying I didn't have the motivation to do it is accurate, but it's more around the fact like none of it had the appeal. Whereas when these guys were like, here's like the plan, it's all laid out, you go film jiu-jitsu people, you interview them, I was like, well, yes, this is it. This is like the thing that I've wanted to do. And now I have like a reason to go and do it. So that's been great. And it's meant that I've got to open up Premiere. So I've been doing a load of editing, doing some animation and stuff. For a long time, I've also thought about doing like social media content. So now I'm running their Instagram channels and their Facebook channels in the UK, so that's like really good experience and exposure. And then the writing as well is just fun, so that tied in with this, it's almost like the thing on the side that I've got going on, which feels manageable, but it is busy. There's a lot to organize.
It's pretty good, man. Like I was thinking about this, like this morning I sent you a video from Tom Cruise, right?
Oh yeah, man, I love that. That's just why I love Tom Cruise. Like, I've always said this to you, if I could work with anyone in the world, it'd be Tom Cruise. Hands down, no questions asked. He's the man I'd work with. Like, putting aside all of the
beliefs,
other stuff that he's got, like, when it comes to like clocking in, doing the work, he's the guy I'd work with.
Yeah, man. It's like, I mean, for even like, besides just doing the stunts thing, which is preposterous, because he doesn't have to do it.
Right? No, he doesn't, no.
And the thing about him taking so much responsibility. So what happens is he's in a set for the new Mission Impossible movie. And he's going at some people that are breaking the rules for COVID in the set. And he's like, guys, I am spending every night speaking with studio executives. And I'm promising them that this movie is what's going to keep this film industry going. It's going to give people jobs. It's like, it's like
he's just drawn a line in concrete and said, no, if you break the COVID rules, then you're gone. He's like, we will be the gold standard of film production, which I love, man. Like, he's just, he recognizes his position on a film set and he's using it to be an absolute example of how you should be.
And it's almost like he's taking responsibility. Like, if this doesn't work, it's not the director, it's not the producer, it's me.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's us as well, right? Like, you all have a responsibility and a role on that set.
The crazy thing about that, it's a lot of people on a Mission Impossible movie.
Right, how do you herd cats?
This is not like an independent film with, you know, like crew that has breakfast, lunch, and dinner all together in a table, right?
It's essentially like Hollywood at its absolute Hollywoodist.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like I think that was like quite interesting to see, because I remember there was one time in training that we were doing sit-ups. I think so. One thing, it's like this year, I think you've gotten a lot of time to put on the mats.
Mm-hmm.
And one question: one is, do you think a lot of like, because you also had like a lot of emotional stuff happening in your life a lot? Do you think like, on the mats, you got the chance to kind of almost, I don't know if it's deal with that.
Sort of. Like, have you ever really had a time on the mats where it's like, during the role, you felt cleansed of all the baggage and shit that was going on in your life? Like, and I ask that with a kind of loaded question, because I haven't personally. Like, I haven't had a moment of epiphany on the mats where I've been like, as I'm like passing the guard, or as I'm like really fighting, I've like suddenly thought nothing else matters. Like, that for me hasn't happened. My experience on the mats is that I am just totally and utterly present in jiu-jitsu. There's nothing else. And coach talks about like, you leave everything at the door, and as you transition over that barrier and you go on the mats, like, you forget everything and you're just utterly present. But what jiu-jitsu has done is it reminded me like how much I love it, how much I want to be there. And it almost offers like a clarity, so that when you step away from the mats and go back to your problems, you've almost got a sense of perspective and separation from what's going on. It's a bit similar when you go on holiday.
Yeah.
When you're on holiday and you've got an extended week, there are times in that holiday where you look at things going on in your life and think, okay, I'm a bit too in the thick of it there. I need to remove myself. Mm. You have a bit of perspective. But jiu-jitsu offers that afterwards for me, I think. So
I feel like I never had in a moment, maybe, but it's a bit of both. Like, for example, there are certain things that I noticed that I've grown, and they come totally from jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Remember when we were drilling takedowns? And the scariest thing is doing the entry.
Yeah, right?
So a takedown is when, I mean, for the non-jiu-jitsu listeners, is when you take someone to the floor, pretty much. And it's just like, to go from, I am in point A, and now I'm going to make contact with this person and force them to the ground. It's like, there's this moment where you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
And you got to be willing to...
It's a complete leap of faith.
Yeah, exactly.
And oftentimes, you don't necessarily have faith in your own ability. So it's almost like a blind faith.
But even the idea that sort of like, it's not like I'm going to fail at this move and the fight is over. It's like, even if I fail this, whatever comes next, I'll handle it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's a skill that that's sort of like, I feel it on a day-to-day. Because a lot of the decisions that I feel like I have to make, it's like, okay, I don't know what's coming next.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
You'll be
like,
okay.
You know, like, and it's okay. Like, and if I fail, it's like, I'll solve it. Like, yeah. It's like, there's this thing that coach always says, like, I want to see you finishing people with your back against the floor. Yeah, this is the only sport that can do that, right? So it's like that mindset of like, as long as I'm alive, it's not over. So even if my back is on the floor, so like that, I'm small bits of moments like that, intense.
That's really good.
So I feel that.
But that's a huge lesson to learn, right? Yeah. Especially with like what you've got lined up next year, like knowing that no matter what, you'll be okay in that situation. That's a huge, like, I don't know, like, I guess mark of confidence that things will be okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been an odd one. Like, I think, I'm not sure if I spoke about it on this podcast, but I've definitely said it to you. Like, obviously, the big transition of change for me came after first lockdown. So moved out, me and my girlfriend broke up, basically moved into this flat. And it was literally like this thing where something I'd wanted, not wanted, because that makes it sound like I didn't want to be in that relationship. I did. But what happened was I ended up just training jiu-jitsu every single day, living in this flat, real close to the gym, working from home. And I was almost like, I don't know, I had this like crisis of not confidence, but like, what am I doing? And I was thinking like, well, why am I here? Like, why am I in London? I could move out of London. I could save money. I don't have to pay this stupid rent. Maybe I could get a house. Like, maybe I could look at living somewhere else. And it was almost like this, what am I doing? And then I think it was basically that thing where like, you know, when you're a little kid and you really want something and you get it and then like, you don't know what to do with it. No. It was almost like that. Like, I just stopped and I was like, hang on, like, I've literally worked for 10 years to be living in London, in a job I enjoy, doing a sport or a passion that I love, and now I've got it all. Like, why am I suddenly... And I think it's that momentum, like, you're working towards something. And then when I got it, I was almost like, well, actually, I hadn't realised I'd got it. So it took me a little while to realise, like, just enjoy it. Like, you've got the thing you worked for. Just enjoy being in that moment. So that's basically what's happened. I've just... But, and people are like, well, what's next? It's not really what next. Like, I'm really happy to, like, in this current setup. So I've just tried to focus on making the most of it and enjoying that time.
I'm letting that sink in. It's really beautiful, bro.
It's funny, man. Like, you look at everything that's gone on this year and you look at, like, some of the weird benefits that have come from it. You know, Coach was saying he's completely changed his coaching method. So now he focuses... He still teaches techniques, but it's less about here's a technique, drill it, go spar. Now it's like, here's a concept. Here are some techniques that can come up. Think about what you're trying to achieve and piece these things together, which is a much more, I think, engaging way of learning and a much more concrete way of learning, which he said has had to come off the back of changing his approach.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually interesting because I noticed that even when you step away from one of the sessions and you're thinking about the situations, it's sort of like your mind sees more than step A, B, C, you know, like sort of one technique.
Yeah.
And you're trying to understand, why did I fail? Like, was it because he got up and I lost? Yeah, it's sort of like you think more in terms of almost like a systematic approach.
There's one concept which I was going through with Ugly Billy the other day, which is like, if you're on your side and I hold your arm, so if you're lying on your side and I hold the arm that's on the floor, you can't get up and you can't roll away. And that came off like a sweep. Like, if you go down with a sweep and you hold that arm, they can't come back up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on their side and you hold that, they can't like roll away from you. And just that little concept of like holding that and then having that control, which came off the back of something Coach showed, I think like from Half Guard or something, that then like starts to really just emphasize your understanding, which is really nice.
Oh, man. So speaking of like that understanding, last night in bed, I was thinking about Half Guard with you, which is like you always get up into a knee slice or into passing. But I was like, what if I controlled the leg that is in between my legs,
which you should
with
do
my left,
which Krakalandia does all the time.
But the thing is, like, I'm trying to get to the other side, like, rather than going with the underhook, trying to get to the other leg. So to do either to grab one leg or to do the Bushesha sweep
or
put you on top.
Yeah.
But then the thing is, as I'm doing that, I'm starting to think, and you know what I noticed? My other side of my ear is starting to get messed up as well. I can't believe, like, I think it's like a genetical thing, because I haven't been doing the other side of the half guard for that long, or deep half that long.
Yeah.
And I'm already feeling my other ear Like, so I'm like getting sore. You're gonna
be the most legit cauliflower ear jiu-jitsu player ever.
That is so sad. Like, so far, I feel like if I don't cut my hair straight away, I look like very different. Like, sort of like because of my ears. It's like a really, yeah. I don't know what to do.
But that's just jiu-jitsu, isn't it? Like, you get beat, or like you have a game, someone figures out your game, so you have to add another layer to your game, and then you progress
on. No, I mean, I don't know what to do with the ears, Ali. My game is gonna move, it's gonna improve.
How long have you had that cauliflower ear now?
I think it's a year and a half.
Year and a half.
2 years. It's like really quick, man. Like, yeah. Sort of, it came out of nowhere.
It did, didn't it?
And it grew.
It grew. Yeah. But you didn't do anything about it.
Hmm?
You didn't do anything about
it. No, I mean, I did. I was draining it.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was draining it. Just one night that I got home, because literally it was never got this big.
Yeah.
One night I got home and I trained, I think 3 or 4 sessions. Like, I did gym, I did MMA, I did jiu-jitsu, and I did a private.
Yeah.
I got home so dead.
Yeah.
I showered. I looked at that needle and I was like, laid in bed a little bit. I'm just gonna lay a little bit here and I'll do it in the morning. No, I'll just do it. I'll get up. I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I woke up and it was dry.
Oh.
Yeah, like it was totally dry.
Can you get it taken out? Like, could you get it surgically removed?
Yeah, I can get surgically removed. The only thing is, my thinking is like, keep training.
Yeah.
And at some point, maybe get surgically removed.
Yeah.
Because I don't mind it now.
No.
Yeah. I don't see it. And most people that meet me either realize like, oh, you trained something, or just think it's like a normal thing. It's like my ears like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something I never see coming. And talking of never seeing coming, like, what do you think about the podcast this year?
I've loved the podcast this year. It's been weird though. Like, because I didn't start on the podcast, did I?
Yeah.
Like, it was you and John. So then I kind of just weaseled my way in.
To be fair, it felt very organic.
It did feel good. Yeah, I mean, we completely stopped during lockdown, which I think was probably a good thing, actually, given the circumstances. And then I liked the way that we started it back up and made it more consistent afterwards. But I think it was just finding a rhythm that worked for us, as opposed to like what we thought we should do.
And also finding almost like a voice. I was talking with someone the other day, and like everyone who listens to the podcast, I think we're attracting a bunch of OCDs. What's up, OCDs? But I have the same thing. It's like when I start listening to a podcast, I want to go to episode 1.
Then
I'm like, please don't. Like when they say, oh, I was listening to the first episode, my stomach was like, oh my God, that one we recorded.
Lego Man was telling me he's just worked his whole way through, all of them. Which is great, like, cool.
It means a lot,
And it actually does, like, that's the thing, like, it really does mean a lot when people not only just listen, but say, like, I enjoyed the podcast, I enjoyed this, like, to get that feedback is good. And also, like, we had some less than positive feedback, I think, when we did, like, the video reviews and stuff like that. And, you know, people do say to us, like, oh, that was okay, but, like, maybe you could do this. Like, we do really appreciate that.
Yes and no, actually. You know what I was thinking about the video review the other day? So there are 2 things about that one that are like maybe not what we expected, but there are some goods that came out of it. One of the goods is I realized we're not sharing anything on Facebook.
No.
But someone found that podcast who competed against me.
And
they saw and they and shared it on it. Facebook.
Oh, that's cool.
So that made me think like, oh, sort of the video content that we put on YouTube.
Yeah.
Most probably will work best with crowds on Facebook and a lot of like sort of like I'd say jiu-jitsu community.
That's cool.
It's not just on Instagram and
where
we share a lot of the stuff. It's also on Facebook because it's like schools are on Facebook.
I was thinking about this the other day. Like I've actually started to like have an extended jiu-jitsu network, mostly from people I compete against. Mm. So like a couple of people up in Fight Zone, a couple of people down in, is it AON or EON? I've forgotten the name of the guys there. Sorry, guys. Yeah. but like people that you see regularly, that you start to recognize, that you go to competitions, and like a few of them now have just got like their blue belts and stuff, which is really cool. So yeah, that's starting to grow, which is really nice. But man, I don't know when competitions are going to be coming back.
It's funny, I was editing a video for the Instagram page, and it's you talking about competition.
Is it?
Yeah, you mentioned this.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know what people... I'm glad people like the podcast, but when it comes to any of the marketing or the Instagram stuff, it's very much...
fluid. Yeah, like we haven't given much thought. I think we should talk about this. I was having some ideas, but I think the main thing is the same way we did with the podcast. It's like we sit down, we find a time that works for us, and if it's...
Cause how I much think, we can actually commit to. Yeah.
One thing is it's been like quite interesting. I'm actually forgetting. Jesus Christ, bro. Like, it's like right in my mind. It's like gone.
Well, the first thing we need to figure out is how we're gonna keep it going with your move. Because obviously we've got a few challenges there, namely you're in Zambia and I'm still here. We also need to think about getting John back.
Yeah.
He's had to take a little time away from the podcast, but we're hoping he's gonna come back as well.
Yeah, like John also had like a hell of a year. So
he has had a hell of a year, yeah.
One thing I remembered what I was going to say. It's first thing, the nice thing about Zambia is the time difference is not that big.
Not huge, no.
You know, like massive. Imagine if I was like in Australia or like, you know, that would be like wild. Like, the one who wakes up at 3 a.m. today. You're like, we have to like, or something like that. But one thing that I learned from the podcast that I didn't know is every time we'd have a conversation, I would go home, and I don't know if it's because of like the setup, because yes, it is a conversation.
Yeah.
But I am aware of certain things. Like when you're speaking, maybe I'm not doing, you know, like so that but things that I usually do, you know, like I'm not touching you or something like that in the shoulder. Like, oh my God, that's so funny. So I don't know if it's like my experience of listening to someone.
Yeah.
I think it has improved.
Yeah.
In a sense of like, or at least it's almost like I practice that a little bit more, because it's like I consciously have to listen to you without even making a noise.
Yeah.
Number two is every time we talk, it's like I go home and I think about what we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a bit different than, it's like, because it's such a, it's almost like it's something that we planned. We have a time, we have, you know, all these things. But then when we did the podcast with Reapon, I felt like I took like a mushroom and I went on like a trip. Right?
That was just a complete and utter like experience, I think, for both of us.
Yeah.
And like the feedback we've gotten from that one has been like, it was just incredible. Like any one of his stories is insane, but especially the whole cardiac arrest that he went through, and just like, just listening to that and actually sitting there and talking with him, that in itself is phenomenal. But you know, when he starts to talk about the impact it has and his new like view on life, it was just an incredible experience, really amazing. And he's obviously followed up with us afterwards about it, and he said that, you know, straight after the podcast, when he was kind of with his wife and his kids, he was saying that just the act of sitting down and talking about it has almost had another step in that journey in terms of, you know, coming to terms with it. And I think one of the most beneficial things I found from the podcast is just sitting down and talking. Like, it's great, like, just to communicate and just to like chat and just to like articulate your thoughts. But the actual act of trying to articulate them makes you hear them and actually makes you evaluate them. And like, it's a really cathartic experience. Mm. One of the things that was quite cool, I can't remember who told me this. It was someone at Jiu-Jitsu that was like, I love just having the podcast on in the background. Like, it's almost just like people chatting, like two friends chatting. Like, he's like, I like just having that like as background noise. And I was like, great. Like, whatever works for you. Like, as long as you're listening and enjoying it, then we're all good.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's like, I don't know, like, the podcast is also one of the few things I do that has taught me how to practice without many expectations.
Just completely.
You know, like, it's like we train jiu-jitsu because we love it, and the podcast is like a bonus, right? So we don't have, like, it's like many of the other projects we have, it's like there is a set goal that something has
to happen,
right? But you know, and it's like the podcast is like, yeah, there is a direction.
Yeah.
We know we have to upload, but it's like we really are not trying to control anything.
No.
So that's pretty cool. Like, you know, like
I think coach asked, did I tell you this? Coach was like, so how do you guys decide the topics? I was like, we literally sit down on the day with the mics in front of us, pick a topic and hit record, and then we go.
Yeah.
You know, there's some other podcasts out there that jiu-jitsu ones in particular that, you know, they have like a thing they want to talk. They want to talk to like competitors. They want to talk about like the competition scene, or it's like they want to get guys on and interview them. And we're like, yeah, we could do all that. Yeah. But for the most part, we just want to enjoy it. we just want to sit down and chat about stuff.
It's like one thing also that after like that interview that blew me away. Like it got me thinking. It's like with Ripon, it's like, it's the impact it made on my actual life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sort of, that was like, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, about a week and a half.
Maybe. Yeah, a week and a half. So, bro, first of all, I noticed how much simple thing, I just started taking cold showers.
Every day.
This week, I went up to 2 minutes under the cold showers.
How was that? How was that?
Today was the day that like I didn't even look at the timer. I was just like there. I mean, I was still like, right?
So what is this thing? It's called the Wim Hof. Yeah,
the Wim Hof method. So I did it for 2 weeks. I mean, like John was telling me about it, like you should do it. Galinho was also telling me about it and I wanted to do it, but I find like sometimes it's like, because it's like similar to meditation, I'd rather do those things in a way that I don't think you're going to see the result by doing it 3 times in a week.
Yeah.
It's like, do even 10 minutes or 5 minutes every day.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I was already doing so much, so I was trying to find the right time. But then Ripon was like the last push. And I started doing cold showers, and that has been like a life-changing experience. I was telling Coach, like, I want to build up to 10 minutes at least, like under, I said 30 minutes. And he was like, bro, you're going to be in Zambia if you do, because I want to do like ice baths. It's like 30 minutes. Like you're going to be in Zambia. 30 minutes in an ice bath in Zambia, 5 minutes in. And it's so hot there. The water is like
lukewarm.
Yeah, the water is like really warm. So you have to do like way less than that.
So what are the benefits of doing this?
So few benefits. It's good for your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you take the cold showers, by the way, bro science here. Like, I'm not going to use the right terminology.
Caveat.
So you take the cold shower and your blood circulation, just like your blood goes all over the place pretty much, mm-hmm, without your heart having to work so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was like really well explained as a bro, huh? That's one. Another one is, I was having a hard time with depression and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Very hard to stay depressed. Are you like, have like a cold shower, right? Another one is strength and energy. I was watching this YouTube channel, the guy explaining that he was doing it right before training.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's because like the blood is like all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like when working out, I can push like 2 or 3 more reps.
Yay.
Right?
That's good.
Mental toughness.
Yeah. That's right? Probably like the first one that springs to mind.
Because it is true. Like, I think like in training, like especially athletes, at the highest level or like at a particular level, because like let's say at our level, like is somewhat beginners.
Yeah.
Right? We are like, the difference is not that big between person A to person B. Right?
Yeah, yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah.
And in many moments, like the thing that makes the difference is the guy who's like, I'm not going to quit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Billy talks about this. He's like, I just weaponize speed. He's like, if I just outwork you, I'm probably going to come out on top.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually proper. Sometimes, like, you see Billy just moving. It's like, bro, just get side control.
Honestly, right? I get side control and I hold him and he's still going. I'm like, for the love of
it. Yeah, man. Like, but yeah, like those are a few of the benefits. That's like just a cold shower apart.
Yeah.
The breathing, I mean, it helps you hold your breath for longer.
Yeah.
I think John is up to 3 minutes holding his breath.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very good.
It's insane, yeah. Right? Like, I did, like, a minute and 59 seconds today. I was like,
Well, knowing nothing about this, the first thing, if I was, like, to hazard a guess as to why it's be good, the controlling your breath probably seems the obvious. Because anyone that's jumped in a cold shower knows that the first thing you go, like, but being able to, like, absorb that shock and control it seems like the most obvious thing straight out the bat.
I was in this live on Instagram with a guy from that does like yoga and jiu-jitsu, and I asked him, is this bullshit? Is it like, because I mean, they're selling a product.
Well, I was going to say, was he selling something? Is this bullshit?
This guy,
you know,
wasn't.
What,
this guy wasn't. This guy wasn't. He was doing like a live thing, sort of just like with his fans. And I was like, so Wim Hof method, breathing, have you tried? He's like, yes, I've tried. I'm not really good at it, but I'm doing it. And what I noticed is that these are like those. This is like invisible jiu-jitsu, in the sense of, it's very hard for a black belt to explain. Like when you're watching jiu-jitsu happening, right? You see the cool move and you get it, why it's good.
Yeah.
But you can't see someone breathing and how that is impacting their movement. Yeah. How is that impacting their energy and stuff like that? It's like, so that's the difference.
Yeah.
A lot of times jiu-jitsu is more like a marathon, because I could have you inside control for an hour.
Yeah.
But you're just waiting for that one moment, right?
Where you can get out.
But if you can't breathe, or if you don't even know, it's like, so that was like a huge sort of like a best way someone explained to me. Because, I mean, yeah, I can hold my breath for 3 minutes. What am I going to do? Am I going to hold my breath in 3 minutes while I'm like in rear naked choke?
That's just made me think. You know, when you roll with coach,
yeah,
and or like he shows a move, he'll get to a position and just hold in that position, and then that'll be it. He'll just stop. And it's not, maybe sometimes it's not even like a dominant position, but he will just stop, and he's so in control that he just remains there. Like, you try and do that, and it's like there's gaps and there's looseness, and people just wriggle out, and you're like, that's like, that for me has just made me think, like, that's the gap, that's the difference level. He could be in any point moving between A to B. He could stop at any point, and he's completely in control, and he just holds there. Goals.
Yeah. And the patience, right? Like, what did he say? Train to your black belt.
Oh, yeah. He says train until your black belt turns white.
Yeah, like when the color of your black belt starts coming out. Nah, man. It's after all, I think going through, I guess, like, the year has brought a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, a massive amount. Massive amount. I do feel, touch wood, relatively unscathed from it, which has been a you know, I really do count my blessings, because there's a lot of people out there that didn't come out of it, I guess, quite as untouched by it all. And it's still ongoing. You know, we've just gone tier three. You know, they're talking about a third wave. Man, it's hard, man.
There's no guarantee that it's going to be very different 2021.
No, which is rubber. I mean, the vaccine's coming, and there's all these things that, like, hope and hang on, but it doesn't feel like we're out of the woods yet, which is mentally quite tough. Because, yeah, you just want an end in sight, right? You just want to be able to live a relatively normal life and keep things going.
One thing that this year taught me was, you know, you can only live one moment at a time, right?
Yeah.
And we had this illusion that you're like, you know, like that you weren't. But it's a lot of like just neurosis of like thinking about the future and trying to control things.
Definitely. But like,
I found that the only way to actually like digest everything was to think about, what am I going to do in the next hour, in the next day.
Which is so important, right?
Yeah.
Because if you hang on to the idea of like, I'm only going to be happy when this thing's over, like, man, you could be waiting an awfully long time, and then think of all the time that's gone without you actually enjoying those moments. Like, you're absolutely right. You need to just be focusing on, okay, what am I doing, not just today, but in the next like couple of hours? And focusing, it's weird, like not having to feel a pressure to make every single hour count, but just being in that hour, like enjoying that moment, which is going to make your life a lot more enriching time if you are, I guess, noticing the things that are going on.
And I think, in a way, it's also like, because I also like being in the moment sometimes can be like a little scary, like just be in the moment, be right here, why? And you're like, your mind is like, ah, right? It's like,
because we're all busy.
Exactly.
Like, we are all busy.
I think a thing that makes more sense is like just control what you can.
Yeah.
Like it's like, yeah, things are falling apart, but you have control of whatever it is right now that you can control. Control that.
Yeah.
And everything else, like, it will come the time to control that when the time comes or something.
Were you talking to me about that Alcohol Anonymous prayer? The alcoholic prayer,
yeah, yeah.
Like that. That's like perfect for the situation.
God give me the strength.
No, it's God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the strength to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah.
Bro, I've only read that like twice.
Yeah, and I was like looking up, like,
I think that's right. It sounds about right.
That is beautiful, man.
The principles there.
And it's quite interesting. I was listening to an audiobook about, and they mentioned this, right? And they were mentioning sort of like, how is it when an alcoholic does not believe in God, is an atheist?
Uh-huh.
And they were saying the point of it, it's not whether someone believes it or not, mm-hmm. but it's the idea that they surrender to something bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
And they have the faith that things will go well, right? Like sort of as long as they can control whatever they can control.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you know what I keep thinking about? Maybe back in like February, March time, I think like some high level competitors were coming over to train at London Fight Factory. Yeah. We're all going to the Europeans. Cyborg had messaged Coach being like, I want this to happen and that to happen. I remember Coach standing there being like, I can feel this is going to be the year. Man.
Yes and no, it was the year, bro.
Like, I 100% agree. Like I was saying, year. The things that have come out of it that you would have expected.
I didn't even train that much, but I feel like I've improved.
Danny was saying this to me the other day, like, you think back to how we used to train. If someone had said, take 3 months off, no way, bro. No way am I going to take 3 months off. And then the benefits, like the rest, the focus, the drive, like the whole like frequency of training, the positive impacts it had, everyone was like, yeah, this is great. This is amazing. But no one, maybe not no one, the majority of people would never have just stopped training and taken that approach.
Yeah, like, bro, like, I literally feel like a training this way, I can catch up. And it's not that I just can't catch up. It's like I can go with my training partner and drill without having to have someone watching every single move, where I'm putting my hand.
Yeah.
Is this, oh, yeah, arm bar is not nice now. Now let's go for leg lock.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay, we are sitting here. You get up. And like you can literally talk about it and make sense of it. You know, it's like it's crazy. You can probably even drill a lot of these things with someone who's never trained, as long as you instruct them and you stop and you think. Yep. So
that's one of the things I realized, not just about Coach, but any instructor. Teaching is a skill. Like, you may know jiu-jitsu, but it doesn't mean you can teach it. The actual art of teaching jiu-jitsu is a genuine skill, of which I had no idea, kind of naively.
So last night it was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
It was also the last time that the gyms were open, right?
Yeah.
And I was doing something wrong.
On the mat?
Yeah, on the mat. That like sort of like Coach showed us, and I was just doing something wrong. And he goes like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. God, give me patience. God, give me patience. If it wasn't your birthday. Right, and even small things like that, like knowing how to be patient, because I think like especially the better you are at something, the further away you are from relating to someone who sucks, you know, like, and if you've been if you've been like really good for very long, you probably don't even remember when you sucked.
Yeah, that's so true actually, especially when you watch someone brand new come in and like you're saying like, do this move, and it's like just a brand new movement for them that they've never done. You think of the journey you've got to go on, like as a white belt, to then get to the point of, now I actually am familiar with just my body moving, now I've got to learn like the positions, the techniques and stuff.
I remember how hard it was for me to do front roll without twisting my neck.
I still can't really do a back roll. Like the other day, coach was like, warm up, do some back rolls. And I could feel him watching me, and I did this back roll. And I knew he was looking at me being like, really? Yeah. Nearly 3 years and we still haven't got this down.
Bro, an update in my life. So this also came because of COVID. I got to say shout out to Iona, bro. So Iona would always text me when sort of like she'd have a class online. She's like, hey, join in. I joined, I think, two.
Iona is a yoga instructor, by the way.
Yeah. and then I trained one, a few live, sort of like in person, two classes of her as well. I find very difficult to, I mean, for example, to do yoga, right? It's one of those things that I've done it before and I've had like a lot of benefits from it. Mm-hmm. There's one time I used to do CrossFit. Guess what happened? I got injured. So... No fires to CrossFit, but it's not for me. So it's like I got injured. My knee was messed up. My back was messed up. And my friend used to do yoga. So she was a yoga instructor. So I asked her to join her. She's like, yeah, I have three kids. You can join me at 5 a.m. every day or fuck off.
Does she know coach?
So I went, and 6 months later, bro, I was brand new.
Yeah, man. The benefits are just phenomenal.
So I stopped.
Of course.
Yeah. But now, during the lockdown, I started. But the thing that changed is I committed to at least 10 minutes a day.
Mm.
That's not much.
Mm.
I was talking. It's like when I would tell other people, yeah, I do yoga. Huh, how long do you do? Like 10 minutes a day. Sometimes it's just one position. I'll just work on that position, right? Yeah. This week, I was doing a flow, and my body was, like, moving. I was, like, from point A to, like, so... I was like, oh, my God! Oh, and I started filming so I could correct myself later.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God! Oh, my God, oh, my God, my body! Like, it's like I was doing the stretches, and I was, like, so mind-blown.
Yeah.
If you look at the video, it's not much happening. But...
Invisible yoga.
But it was like the way I was moving, like the, yeah. And then also on the mats, the way I was moving on the mats, especially yeah, like how I was feeling after, like my body wasn't feeling as beat up.
Yeah.
And how I was transitioning from position to position.
Yeah.
And that was also like the idea of like consistency.
Yeah.
Like even if it's a smaller amount.
Yeah.
It's better than perfection.
Danny has been going on at me for so long that I need to start doing some form of yoga or dynamic stretching. He's saying twice a week, and I do agree with him. Zarella the other day was like, do you want to come and do a dynamic stretching like session? I was like, yeah, let's go for it. Man, I know this is like the most common story ever where people are like, I did one class and I was like shaking, but it is so hard to hold those positions. And you realize just how like my range of movement. At one point she was like, now Ollie, like you need like your chest to the floor. I was like, Zarella, that's your lot. And she's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Shout out to Zarella for an amazing class. Like, honestly, it was insane. Some of the positions, like you're holding the most like, not even obscure position, but your body is just like convulsing as you're trying to hold it. It's so, so beneficial. And afterwards, you do feel great. Really great.
Yeah, man. And I must say, like, we're in our 30s now, you know? So.
You just turned 30, haven't you?
Oh, come on, bro. you could have let that off. It's like, I wanted to just talk like I was like one of the boys who's been in the club for a long time. It's like.
Bro, I'm only 31.
Hmm?
I'm only 31.
Bro. We're in our 30s. So, okay, you're right. It's like, what I mean, it's like, I think it's the longevity of of our jiu-jitsu. It's, remember the footballer Ryan Giggs?
I do.
There is a video, like on YouTube, of him outpacing another, like a 26-year-old footballer, like in his last year of his career. I think he was like closer to his 40s. And he was like, yeah, most of this is because I spent... The older I got, I kept doing stuff like that, like yoga and things like that. And it's like, because it was the only way I could still play football.
Yeah.
So I think there is a moment to just go hard.
Yeah.
But it's it's unsustainable if we don't.
It is.
Yeah.
I need to change up my game.
But also, but the thing that I think that it's important that I learned is that it's like, it doesn't take that much. It's like, because in my, because of that mindset of going hard, in my mind, it's like, I'll dedicate an hour of yoga a day. Yeah, it's no, 5 minutes of stretching goes a long way.
It does. I need to start doing it. And I will start doing it. And even if I do the 10 minutes a day, or like, even if I do like some before and after training.
Yeah.
But coach says this to me all the time. He's like, I can see your style, which is like strength, aggression, fast, hard. He's like, but, you know, he says strength is a bit like a crane. Like, it's really good until it gets rusty, and your age will make you rust. So you can't rely on it forever, which is true.
But also, I think it's also like, we're learning, right? Like, one thing I gotta give props to you, it's like, it's also being coachable.
I try really, really hard to get out of my own way, which I actually learned through doing privates with Danny. And it's this thing of like, you think you know, you don't know. And even if you think you know, shut up, because you're about to know, because someone who does know is going to tell you. So I try really, really hard to keep my mouth shut, to listen, to understand, and really to only open it if I don't understand. And I'm not always perfect. sometimes I think I know and I'll say it and I don't know. But that's how I try and be, because until you know for sure and you've done it loads of times, even then you need to be open to another way of doing it. Otherwise your mind will start to close off in certain places. So I make a real conscious effort to like you say, try and be coachable and to listen and to absorb and to ask questions when I'm not sure.
Think about the classes we have in the morning. We have Dave, he's a brown belt.
Yeah.
We have Galinho sometimes. Yeah. We have Ollie, who's a black belt.
Yeah. We've got some high level purple belts as well. You know, Adam is a really, really good teacher. Yeah. I really rate the way that he approaches jiu-jitsu.
And they follow the class.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not because they don't know sort of like a better way, another way. They follow the class. But then there is always someone would come and like sort of like, yes, they know a lot, but we'll try to bring it up.
What if he does this?
You've changed the
conversation.
Exactly. Or the classic one, right? Which is like you're about to finish the person and they like try to teach you. It's not that those things are wrong, but it's like there is a moment for it. And maybe that's not the right one.
Yeah. Do you remember when Nathan Chung came? The black belt. He won AGP tours and he also won the London Open. Mm-hmm. In his weight and Open, I think. I remember watching him and Sharpe just exchange knowledge. Mm. And you think like two black belts, kind of different styles. Like I think Sharpe has a very, very good like deep De La Hiva, like sweep game. And I think Nathan is very much like the footlock game.
Mm.
But the way that they were like exchanging knowledge and talking about things was just the perfect example of how like jiu-jitsu should be, right? Like neither one are right and neither one are wrong. Like it's just that adding things to your game. And I remember Cyborg saying like, if he goes to another gym, he'll go and he'll like sit in any of the classes that are on just to like be there and observe. And
you know how I learned this? Not talking too much and like just being humble. So one day I get to the gym, bro, I was drilling so much half guard sweep, like the Lucas Leite stuff.
Yeah.
And I was confident. I was getting good people, like people that are, I would say like levels higher than me with it. So I go to coach and I'm like, yeah, tomorrow morning. I was training, I was lifting. I was like, yeah, tomorrow morning I'll go deep half, blah, blah, blah. And I'm talking so much nonsense. Next to me, there is a guy, short, small, like, you know, like, doing his fitness, you know, like, so I think, this guy's probably just here for training, for lifting. I don't even know this guy, right? And I'm talking. By the way, I'm speaking Portuguese, right? So I think it's only me and him were understanding.
Yeah.
And, like, coach is just, like, pumping me up more and more. Like, you gotta do that there. It's like, he's like, and like, I'm really excited. Next day comes. And then he's like, okay, guys, it's time to roll. By the way, Iki said he's going to do X, Y, Z, and he's going to do this to you, and so on and so on. Guess what? First of all, everybody knew what I was going to do. Second, the guy who was just training there, he was like a high-level black belt that just came from Brazil to compete on the Europeans. And I was just like, oh my God, so embarrassed, so embarrassed.
What a lesson.
Yeah, that was hilarious, though. That was hilarious.
You've made me think, all throughout my life, especially at school, that basically the teachers were like, he's just mouthy. He answers back. He's always got an answer. He's like, do you know what I mean? Just like a mouthy git. But when you come into jiu-jitsu, like, I was just so aware that, like, that wasn't going to float. Like, that was not going to fly there. Like, these people not only know more than me, but if they're going to prove a point, it's going to be a painful point. So I was just really, really aware that I just had to shut up and just do my absolute best just to not, like, answer back and, like, bring that level of respect that, man, I, like, we have seen it before. Like, people sometimes don't. Like, they do come in with, like, this level of, like, I've arrived. And I don't know, like, jiu-jitsu is a very, very good way of respectfully getting rid of that. But it just made me think, like, all throughout my life, that was me. I just answered back. I was, like, quick on the old mouth and stuff.
Wow.
But it just wasn't an option.
Wow, they should have choked you earlier,
Ollie. Mate, but think about that. Like, think if they did, like, then it would have completely changed.
But also, I think it's, like, the nature of, like, just, like, learning something that is so abstract. We can talk about it forever, right?
Honestly,
like,
yeah.
We can come up with scenarios, and then it's like, okay, come show me what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, ow, ow, ow. Okay, I get it, right?
Yeah. You're funny, man.
Yeah.
Dare I ask, any goals for 2021?
Yeah, there are goals, bro. Like, first of all, there's something that Luis told me once, that it's been, I think, like, a theme of my year today. Not today, this year, which was, remember that song, Histórias Nossas Vitórias, Dias de Luta, Dias de Glória. It's like, there's a song that he always plays in the morning by Charlie Brown Jr. It's a Brazilian song, and the thing
is... Not Sois Loucas Sabem. What's the one? Only the Crazies Now?
Yeah, it's another one, but the same group.
Uh-huh.
So, what the song says is like, some days of fighting, some days of glory.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember that was one day, I think it was around that time that I was reading the half guard stuff, that I was getting a little bit, what's his name? The guy that, okay. I was getting a little bit too much. I told him, he was like, how was training? I was like, today was a day of fighting, not a day of glory. And then he says, man, every day you wake up is a day of glory. And that has been like a really big thing to know, that like I had a hard time getting out of bed this year, you know, sort of like feeling really down. And I was like, man, if I get out of bed, I won the day and everything else is a bonus.
Mm.
I'm just going to make sure it's a huge bonus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that sort of like appreciating life like that, sort of like success for me is getting out of bed.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make sure that the things that I have to do the day, I do them in a way that makes me want to get out of bed the next day and the next day. So that's been like that's I think like a big goal that I can follow for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of jiu-jitsu, that means that are things that excite me about jiu-jitsu that I watch and I want to do and stuff like that. And, you know, like the passing, moving with intention. So doing yoga, continue doing yoga, 10 minutes to 30 to an hour every day of the week. I would say like a lot of my open guard, right? Like sort of like, I mean, in terms of, like, it's still training the same way that we're training right now, where we understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that I know I can improve, like my open guard can get better. I could make more attacks from the back. I can get up more. Like that's a big thing. I'm lazy sometimes where I want to submit.
Yeah,
but it's like, after you, it's like when you're rolling with someone your size and using strength, you just have to get up, forget the sweeps, you know? It's like, and the passing, you know, sort of like... not fighting, not holding on to things, you know? It's like, let the person give you what you want or what they want to give you, so that my transitions are more smoothly and I'm dealing with what's in front of me more than what's in my head.
Yeah.
Because in my head, I want to do the pass A.
Yeah.
Bro, this pass B is just right there. So I think training in a way that brings that out of me more and more. But every day up, bro, that's a day of glory.
That's a good way of thinking about life.
Yeah. Stop it, Ollie. Yeah, that's my goal.
Nice, bro. I like it.
What's your goal?
Just hard work, man. Keep getting better at jiu-jitsu. Keep maintaining the things I've got going on. And just, try and enjoy it as much as possible.
Jesus, you simplified so much. Jesus Christ. Like, it's like straight to the point. I went all around the block.
I think yours is more pertinent. I think you've gone through an awful lot this year. And the lessons you've learned, I would say, are much more valuable.
Yeah, I mean, like, to be honest, like, bro, like, you just, like, we were talking about this. I really appreciate the way you just go straight to the point. Yeah, I am a wanderer.
For sure. Well, listen, man, I'm not sure this was anything close to what we were going to do on this podcast, but I've enjoyed this one. Man. It's been good.
I'd say I'll end this with John Jiu-Jitsu, we miss you.
We do miss you. But before we sign off, man, listen, it was your birthday yesterday.
Oh, stop it.
Christmas is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you're leaving us. So I got you a little something.
Oh, my God.
It's been sitting here, bro. Nicely wrapped.
What?
Please be careful.
I think I know what it is.
I think you might do as well.
And you know what's crazy? In my mind, I already know where I'm going to put this.
Were you on to me?
Bro.
You cottoned on to me.
I swear to God. So the whole time, when you're asking me what's my goal and all, I know it. Oh my God.
I've made it collapsible.
I didn't. Oh my God. You got me.
Isn't that what you thought it was going to be?
No. Oh no, I didn't know.
I've made it collapsible.
You even went like, ooh, you got a gold too.
I forgot you got a gold medal. So that's why I asked for your silver. And then when you brought your gold.
This is so dope, bro. Oh my God.
Do you want me to explain what it is?
Yeah.
So the other day, I messaged Eki and said, can you bring your London Open silver medal? Because when we competed, we both got silver. Then when he turned up with his silver medal, but also his gold from London Warriors. And I completely forgot we both got a gold in London Warriors. So what I've done is I've gone out and I've bought a photo frame with slots for 3 photos. In the middle, I've put a photo of us getting our gold at London Warriors. And on either side, there's your gold medal and there's my gold medal.
Ah, so beautiful, bro.
You like it, bro?
It's all right. Oh, my God.
So listen, man, when I was making this thing, the only thing going through my mind was Iki's got to get this to Zambia. And I was like... I was like, if there's any glass, if there's any building requirements, this thing's never making it. So I've made it that it basically just comes completely apart. And then when you get on the other side, you can just put it back together.
Bro, so when I felt it, I thought it was going to be a picture of all of us. And my goal is like when I get to Zambia, so a few things. The thing about getting up, I was writing about things that make me want to get out of bed or like make me want to stay up late at night.
Yeah.
So some of them are drawing, painting, writing,
mm-hmm.
Sort of making films and training jiu-jitsu in a nutshell, right? Or like doing yoga, still find it a little bit hard to get out of bed for that. Like meditation and stuff like that and spending time with my friends and my family. And I was like, man, I have to find... So I'm going to stay at a place, so... my goal is like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to get rid of as much space that I can, and I want to have one place where I work out.
Yeah.
And I'll paint on the wall that sort of like a similar painting as one in the gym.
Oh, nice. You know? That'd be cool. Yeah.
So like, really that's cool. Like a nice project, a nice drawing project to have.
Yeah, yeah.
That like, it's almost like keeps like a ritual for me. And I was like, and what will I have on the other side of the wall? It's like, oh, I have like pictures, like almost like, you know, like when you get in the gym.
Yeah.
From the door, I was like, yeah, I have a picture this side and then a painting on this side. So I thought you were like having like
I thought about it. I thought about that. But I thought like the most special memories I think we've had are those little moments there. Where we've gone to competition.
Bro, we were the same size here. It was before we did our body transformation, like where we switched bodies.
Yeah, we literally were the same size, but you did adult and I did masters.
Yeah.
I remember that fight so well because as I went on to the mat, I watched your fight and I was supposed to be like shaking the ref's hand. I was watching your fight and it's the one where the guy deliberately reaped your, like pushed your leg to try and reap your knee.
Yeah, and then
he got DQ'd and you had no, you were like, okay, yeah, sure. And then I went out and
oh bro, what a gift, man.
Ah, man.
Well, on that note, Ali, finish. I'm too emotional right now. Finish the podcast. Wrap it up.
I'll wrap it up. Thank you guys all for listening. We will try and get one more in before the new year. We're putting plans in place to make sure that this continues. And we love you all. Peace
out. Just like that.
Just like that.
Peace out.